As we come to the start of a new week together, I want to remind you of the context for today's discussion. If you're like me, sometimes it's hard to remember a conversation from this morning, let alone what we were talking about last week. Last Monday, we carefully defined what the name God in Genesis 1 verse 1 actually means. It's the Hebrew name Elohim. This name is a plural masculine noun, but remember, Elohim is not plural in the sense of more than one. Our little Hebrew grammar lesson taught us that a respectable definition of Elohim is rather that Elohim is the greatest God of all. The plural, I am, at the end makes it plural, is used in Hebrew as a plural of honor. So the Hebrews added I am here as a way to give the highest, greatest honor that can ever be given to God. And we said that the meaning of Elohim as the greatest God of all means that we could rightfully ask, if God is the greatest God of all, then is there more than one God? And what we learned is that by naming himself Elohim here in Genesis 1, what God does is to acknowledge that he, being God, knows there are no other gods. But we, as people, will insist that there are other gods, and that we will affirm their existence, and we will bow to them, making idols of these deities that we ourselves have created. He knows there are no other gods, but we do not know it, or we do not accept it. And so God does something about this. Elohim acts. And we saw that he lovingly and for our own good gives us two commands. In Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 3, he speaks, and he tells Moses to write these down. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol. You shall not worship them or serve them. No other gods and no idols. Do people listen? No. We persist. There's got to be more than one God, we think. And so we traveled over quite a ways, flipping the pages in our Bibles, and we came to 1 Kings. And on Friday, we read about an earthly king over the people of God. His name was Ahab, and he and his evil wife, Jezebel, worshipped a god, very, very popular at that time, named Baal, and they bowed before an idol named Asherah. Ahab and Jezebel, as king and queen, led the whole territory that they ruled right into the idolatry as well. Their beliefs, manifested in their lifestyles, flat out contradicted God's commands. They refused to listen to Elohim. Let me read now 1 Kings 16, verse 29 and 32 to 33. 1 Kings 16, 29 says, Now Ahab became king over Israel, and Ahab reigned over Israel in Samaria 22 years. Verse 30, Ahab did evil in the sight of the Lord more than all who would before him. So he erected an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he built in Samaria. Ahab also made the Asherah. So we have Ahab and Jezebel, and we have the false gods of Baal and Asherah, and then we met one important additional character named Elijah. Elijah is a man of God. That is, he is committed to one God, and he is sent by the one God to condemn the worship of Baal and Asherah. Elijah's name is fantastic. Elijah means the Lord is God. The Lord is God, and with a name like that, it's clear what his mission in life is going to be. God's going to speak and act through this man, Elijah, to demonstrate to Ahab and the people of God that these small gods are not existent and are therefore completely powerless. Drop down in the biblical text to 1 Kings 18, verses 17 through 19. 1 Kings 18, 17, when Ahab saw Elijah, Ahab said to him, Is this you, you troubler of Israel? Ahab did not like Elijah because the king knew that Elijah did not approve of his idolatry. Verse 18, he said, I have not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house have, because you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and you have followed the Baals. Now then, send and gather to me all Israel at Mount Carmel, together with 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of the Asherah, who eat at Jezebel's table. Did you catch what Elijah said? You have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and you have followed the Baals. The commandments would be the first two of the Ten Commandments that we looked at in Exodus 20. To forsake means to abandon or leave, and certainly not to keep the commands. And the Lord is God. So Ahab has dismissed and ignored God in favor of the Baals. Elijah then tells Ahab and us what God's plan is. Let me read 1 Kings 18:19 again. Now then, send and gather to me all Israel at Mount Carmel, together with the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of the Asherah, who eat at Jezebel's table. There's a mountain range in Israel, there to this day, of course, that ranges from the Mediterranean Sea into the southern part of the Jezreel Valley, called Mount Carmel. And somewhere along this range, Elijah wanted to meet the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah. Now do you see the rampant and widespread worship of false gods? That's a lot of prophets, but they're false prophets. And they eat at Jezebel's table. Now remember who she is. She's the evil queen. Jezebel is married to Ahab. And in verse 20, we learn that Ahab did what Elijah requested. 1 Kings 18:20 reads, "So Ahab sent a message among all the sons of Israel and brought the prophets together at Mount Carmel." Now, he didn't text message, but somehow word spread and he gathered the people and the prophets up on this mountain range. And now let me read verses 21 to 24. This is 1 Kings 18, verses 21 to 24. Elijah came near to all the people and said, "How long will you hesitate between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him." But the people did not answer him a word. Then Elijah said to the people, "I alone am left a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Now let them give us two oxen, and let them choose one ox for themselves and cut it up and place it on the wood. But put no fire under it. And I will prepare the other ox and lay it on the wood, and I will not put a fire under it. Then you call on the name your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God who answers by fire, he is God." All the people said, "That is a good idea." Notice in verse 21 that Elijah says there's only two opinions of who God is, and he wants the people to make a choice. Elijah is saying either the Lord is God, and by Lord God, he means Elohim. In this text, Elohim now has the name Lord, which is another legitimate name for God that we will study in the near future. So either the Lord is God or Baal. Elijah is clearly differentiating between the Lord God and Baal. These are two different deities, and it's either one or the other. Either the Lord God is God or Baal is God. Which is it? The people kept silent. Elijah then sets up the test that will determine who the real God is. Now remember, Elijah is severely outnumbered here. In verse 22, he points out that he is one prophet of the Lord God, but Baal has 450 men who claim to be his prophets. "Nevertheless, go find two oxen, and oxen are like cattle, and cut them up. Then make two piles of wood. Put the cut oxen upon the wood piles, but do not light any fire under the wood." We're about to find out why he said this. So you see, what we have are two piles of wood, two oxen that are cut to pieces and have the prophets of Baal and the one prophet of the Lord God, Elijah, stand together on this mountain range. And Elijah's saying, "You call on Baal to provide fire to burn up your wood pile. I'll call on the Lord God to provide fire to burn up my woodpile, and whichever God responds, he is the true God." And notice how they all responded to this. They said, "That is a good idea." They love it. I mean, they just think that's a great idea. Well done, Elijah. We can agree to that. And the agreement between the 450 men who believe deeply in Baal with the people and the one man who believes deeply in the Lord God is really important to notice. This is sort of like agreeing to the rules of the game before the game is actually played. There's really only one card game that I know how to play, if you even want to call it a card game, and that is the game Uno. Uno, Probably because I win when I play. There's a little challenge for family and friends like Emily up in Toronto, who I know is listening. Anyway, there are, as you know, many different ways to play Uno. For example, can you drop two, draw two cards and make the next person pick up four? When can you play the dreaded draw four card, etc.? Well, I sometimes play with people who shall remain nameless, who like to change the rules halfway through the game when they look down at the score sheet and realize I'm winning again. And so before we start a new game, I like to establish the rules. I like to make sure that all the players agree, because once we have that agreement, then off we go to the left of the dealer. Well, these are the rules of this biblical contest between the Lord God and Baal. Do the rules seem fair to you? Do they make sense to you? Do the people who are going to watch and witness this contest in 1 Kings know how this will be played? Yes. Look again at verse 24. They said, "That is a good idea." And tomorrow we'll watch what happens next. It's really something. But just as we close today on the first day of the week, I want to pray for our new week together. Please join with me, those of you who believe in the one true God. God, to you we pray. I pray that you'll give us all clarity as we read this passage together. It's going to be awesome what we will see you do, O Lord our God. Give us, as always, insights, eyes that see, ears that hear what you want to say to us through this passage. And we pray today for all the people of New England to bow down and to worship you, the one true God. Amen. Friends, whoever you are, please be back here tomorrow as we continue to learn that God is one.